Well, good morning to everyone. There's a cartoon that I saw a number of years ago where a woman, when the husband comes in, she's sitting in the kitchen. And the children are running around. The dog is in there. I mean, everything is in just a state of disarray. And the question is basically asked, what did you do all day? And the wife's reply, I'm using a little different than what the cartoon was, the wife's reply is, I wanted you to see what I did every day. Because on the other days when you came in, you asked the same question and you evidently couldn't see it. Appreciation. You know, it's not hard to show appreciation. I mean, when was the last time that you said something to someone who had done something for you and you told them how much you really appreciated it? Or do you on a regular basis just take it for granted that the house is going to be cleaned, that the clothes are going to be done, that the yard is going to be mowed, that there's going to be gas in the tank? And you could just go on and on in reference to family life. And we just get used to things being done and we never really give thought to who did it. Do you take someone for granted? I'm waiting. Do you take someone for granted? And I'm convinced that if we're not careful, we can take each other for granted in our families, in places where we work. And even at worship, we can just take for granted. A lot of times we just come in, and we may converse one with the other, and everything goes smoothly, but yet we never think that things are going that way because someone made sure of it. From the cleaning of the building to the locking of the doors when things are over. I don't believe that we are probably as appreciative as we ought to be. We just take things for granted that this is the way that it should be, and because that is the way it should be, then we only say something when it's not as it should be. When was the last time, husbands, you looked in the eyes of your wife and said thank you for all that you do? When was the last time you looked into the heart of your husband or wife or children and just said thank you for who you are and all that you do? I'd like to give you some homework. And I hate to say that I have to give it to you. But as soon as services are over, I want you to say to someone, not me, someone within this congregation that you're so appreciative for. Last week we talked about the power of God actually, as we discuss the subject of the meaning of the cross of Christ. We talked about that there were three proclamations that God had made when dealing with the cross, and that is the cross of prophecy, thousands and thousands of years before it happened, that we were began to be told that Jesus was coming to save man. Then we talked about the very purpose of the cross, that the purpose of the cross was to bring man back to God. And it took the cross of Calvary in order that I might be pardoned. And that was the third point. So we talked about the cross in prophecy, in purpose, and in pardon. Now, what did you do, or what did I do with that lesson last week? Did you or did I internalize it? You know, I gave you some homework last week. You remember what the homework was? The homework was simply this: to allow your mind every day of this past week, every day, to think on the cross. If you did not, if I did not, then I want you and I to both understand very vividly that we're not appreciative. Did you hear what I said? That we are not as appreciative as we ought to be. Somewhere in every day that we live, we must be willing to acknowledge what took place on the cross of Christ. In John 12, it talks about, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. The cross of Christ must be the center of our existence. And in reference to the Christian, if we take away the cross, we're empty. There's something that is not right, something that is wrong in our life. Again, appreciation of the cross should be the key factor in every local congregation. It should be that which children understand before they ever obey the gospel. Not just that they need to be baptized, but do you really understand the significance of the cross, its purpose, that you might be pardoned and be brought back to God? Appreciation is defined as sensitive awareness, recognition of aesthetic value. An estimation of admiration, approval. Now again, did you last week, as we ask, self and you to do also, did you think about the cross at least once every day? Was it thought of when you offered your prayer? Or was it thought about as you went through your daily activities? This is a vivid scene on the screen of a representation of the Lord being crucified, so that you and I might receive the pardon of our sins in fulfillment of prophecy. Let's talk about how we can show appreciation. Do you remember sometimes when you said something to mom and dad, and the mother said, or father said back, well, if you really mean it then, show it. Prove that you really appreciate what I do for you on a regular basis. You young'uns, your mama does the laundry most of the time, or you may help some. Are you really appreciative? Or as soon as that dress or pair of pants is missing, you say, Mama, where's my britches? Mama, where's my dress? Mama, Daddy. As if it had to always be there. And most moms and dads will see that it's there. Don't you know that it'd be really appreciated, if you just simply say, thank you. So when we think about appreciation, let's think about showing our appreciation through a transformation of life. In Romans chapter 6, in there verse 4 beginning, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The old man has been crucified. A new life has begun. And it must be evident in our lives as we have transformed from that ugly, ugly piece of sin to a saved individual in Christ Jesus. The cross will lead us to die daily to ourselves and to the world. Paul pointed out in Galatians 2 and there verse 20 that he magnified Christ in his body. We ought to be living in such a way that people can see that we're willing to die daily to self. That we're willing to put ourselves way down on the bottom as long as we can exalt the Christ. That we die to Christ, that we die to sin and die to the world. It should be seen. It should be evident. People should be able to see your transformation of life. If they can't see a transformation of life, it means that we have not transformed, and it means our baptism was of little or no consequence whatsoever. Because a transformed life can be seen. You know that beautiful butterfly came from a worm, as someone said the other night, or a caterpillar. And I don't see too many caterpillars that I would say that are cute. But I love when the transformation is made, that monarch butterfly comes out. It flies all over the yard. It's beautiful. And you see the transformation of life. The cross leads to an image that people can see Christ in us. You know, oftentimes we hear somebody say, well, you know, your son or your daughter is the spitting image of you. And that always brings what? You sort of rear back a little bit and you say, oh, that's true. And men sometimes will say, yes, she sure is. She takes after my beauty side. And we sort of, you know, we like that. What people need to see is a transformation of Christ's image in us. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So that means every day that I live, I've got to keep working on that. And that I want people, when they see me, yes, they're going to see David Lanny. Yes, they're going to say, I see that's his image. I understand that's the way he looks. But what they need to be able to do is look beyond me and see the reason for my actions. You can tell that that person has changed. If we really appreciate what Jesus has done for us, then it will be seen in our transformation of life at school, at work, at home, and even here. Is it? You get to decide just how appreciative. You see, you could get all excited about the man not seeing all the work that you do at the house. You can get all excited when the wife tells you, I'm so thankful for all the things that you do. Don't you know that it is exciting to God when He looks down and sees His people who have transformed themselves into His image? When we're really appreciative, then something else is accomplished, and that is it motivates me to serve Christ faithfully. Now, we had a great singing here Friday night. We had, what was that attendance again, Aaron? Where'd Aaron go? He told me a few minutes ago. 170? 170. Thank you, sir. I found it. He told me that there were 45 visitors. Our attendance was 205 last week. Just us and a few visitors. I'll let you be the judge about why we missed that particular service. I don't mean to be mean or ugly. I know some had already had things planned before, but at the same time, if you were sitting at home, then evidently you weren't motivated to serve Christ on that night. You know, God's grace through Christ causes us, or should cause us, to love more and to serve more. Read with me from Luke chapter 7. I don't know about you, but I want to do better. I want to serve to the height of my capacity so that God might be glorified and so that I at the same time might be able to show my appreciation. In verse 44 of Luke 7, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman was anointing my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Did you see what he said to Simon? "I came to your house. You condemn the woman for what she's doing, but I'm telling you, she chose the better part. Here's one who showed her love and affection. With her actions, I should love more and I should serve more." David asked a few minutes ago about all of us men being ready to sign up on Sunday. Do you have the ability to do that, to serve in that particular area? If you have the ability to serve in that particular area, seriously, fellas, we ought to have to fight to get to the board to sign in order to serve in that capacity. Now, I know some who can't do that anymore. They wish that they could and have served royally in the past. Service. If I really appreciate the cross of Christ, then I'm going to love more and serve more. The love of the cross constrains or controls us to live and serve Christ and not ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5, and there verse 14 and 15. Controls us. Let's read that. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Why are we compelled to serve? Because Christ died, but he just didn't die. He rose again. In understanding that, we partook of the Lord's Supper just a few moments ago. And it is in the way in which God says, "I want you to do this," it is truly a way that you can remember. It is a memorial, but at the same time, it is a means of showing appreciation. Appreciation for Christ. Appreciation for the cross. Again, beloved, we need to think daily. We need to be motivated. For faith in the cross causes us to be steadfast. We've already quoted from Galatians 2 and there verse 20. But being appreciative causes me to become a living sacrifice. Taking up one's cross represents a serving sacrifice. The taking up of our cross on a daily basis and doing so. Not just Sunday. Not just Wednesday night. Not just during a singing, but that we take up the cross and we serve Christ on a regular basis. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Luke 14:28. What does it profit us if we gain everything, if we don't show appreciation for the ultimate thing that was done for us? And that is the cross of Christ. Week before, I presented this lesson at Active Daycare Center. It's where Robin works and where she takes care of a lot of people who are very, very sick. They can't move around a whole lot. They even have to bring things in sometimes and crank them up and get them out of chairs and put them in other places. And when I got through with this, they were so appreciative. Here they're in ill health, 100% of them. And they were just thankful for being reminded. Most of us in here are in decent health. And we've been blessed with that health. We ought to thank God daily for our spiritual health that's found in Christ. And our physical health as well. Every Christian should be willing to lose his life. You know, I've used the expression before, and I think it's a true one. And we really give thought to this during the time when our young men are in conflict or in battle, when young women and men are over in places like Iraq or Iran, if that comes up, or Afghanistan, or you name the war area. Do you realize that all of those young men and women that are over there are volunteers? Each one of them said, I'm going to go and fight for my country. And they signed an agreement with the federal government that this is how far they will go. And that is the ultimate. They will give their life in defense of this country. They raise their hand to that. It is as if they write a blank check and say, fill in the blank. And sometimes it means death. You and I are a voluntary group of people. We volunteer to serve God and to serve Him faithfully. And we promise that we would be a living sacrifice. That we would take up His cross and we would deny ourselves on a daily basis. But not only would we take on His cross, we'll take on our own, whatever our life is. That we'll carry the load. And the reason that we can carry the load is because He first carried the load that was placed upon Him. And that is the cross. There's no excuse for me. There is no excuse for you when we fail to show appreciation and to put God first in our life. When we really appreciate what the Lord has done for us, then the cross itself is the center of our worship. And you and I are to bring thanksgiving in our hearts to worship. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. beginning with verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell. The idea there is to be in the house, your person. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Heartfelt. Religion becomes heartfelt. Worship becomes heartfelt when we are appreciative. Why are you going to worship? To show my appreciation. To express my thanks to God and to the Lord for the supreme sacrifice that He made. So when we come together, be it today or any other time, our complete being is coming together. The totality of what we are, as we from the Spirit sing and make melody in our hearts to God. And these songs are saying over and over and over again, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's why the singing was so valuable Friday night. Because our hearts united together in thanking God and giving Him the glory and honor that is rightfully His. Worship will never be considered dull because worship is a response to what God has done in Christ Jesus. Somebody comes in and says, "You know, preacher, y'all got some of the dullest assemblies I've ever been to." How do you know? Well, nobody was swaying in the aisle. Nobody was jumping up and down. Everybody wasn't hollering, "Amen, amen, amen." I dare you to judge my heart. Because the religion of Christ is a religion of heart. It is not hearing somebody strum on a guitar. It is not a bunch of young'uns hollering out like a bunch of banshees. It is where God's people have come together in unison and to give God the praise and the honor and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for all that you do and all that you have forever done." The cross will lead our worship to be done in the right attitude, in the right standard. And I tell you what, I can only remember one time when I thought the service was dull. You know what the problem was? It was me. I remember attending a service in Louisville, Kentucky. And I tell you what, I think I've told the story before, but you need to hear it again. I didn't like a thing that went on. The announcer didn't know how to announce. The guy who led the singing, well, that's enough said. And then the preacher got up. His message meant nothing. And I sort of looked around and said, "You know, his watch must be broke. He can't see the clock on the back." All of a sudden, I took control of me. And I said, "David, you're wrong. You are not here. You did not come here to worship. For if you had come to worship, you would have understood the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And after I repented in my own seat, you know, repentance sometimes takes place in the pew, doesn't it? You know, all of a sudden that guy was one of the best announcers I'd ever heard. Man, he was right on top of it. And the song leader, man, he was good. You know, sometimes I'm going to share something that Cynthia learned from someone else. I'll not use their name. I don't want to embarrass them. And Cynthia was sitting next to her, and she told the young woman, she said, you know, I want to apologize for the way I sound. This other woman said, God doesn't hear that. He said, God hears in perfect pitch. In other words, He hears what's coming from your heart. If you sound like an old bullfrog, then croak away. Because when God hears it, it is a sweet sacrifice to His heart. Worship from the heart. And if I will engage my heart with the Spirit of God, there will never be another service that I'll consider dull, because I will have the right attitude. And the attitude is that I have come to worship, that I have come to participate, and that I will leave rejoicing. Why? Because I have worshipped with a cross-centered mentality. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the cross of Calvary that allows me to have pardon for my sins. You think maybe this coming week that you and I will be a little more cross-centered, that we will show a little more appreciation? Let me tell you, don't go home and say anything appreciative to anybody, are you with me? You know where I'm going. Don't tell the wife, husband, children, or anybody else how much you appreciate them until you first of all, from your heart, expressed appreciation for the cross of Calvary, where you have found the forgiveness of your sins and the hope of eternal life that is found in Jesus. And when you do that, you know where you're going? You get to go home. You get to go home. Is there someone here this morning that is not a Christian? Then you have no appreciation for all that's done for you. You can show that appreciation by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, be buried with Him, and have your sins washed away. And now you can begin that life of sacrifice and appreciation as you say to God on a daily basis, God, thank you for saving me from my sins. Now I get to talk to all of us who are in here, and the majority of us are Christians. If you haven't been as appreciative as you should have been, you can, from where you're seated, say, God, I'm sorry. It may just be between you and Him. Everybody else may have an entirely different view of you. But yet, you know, I know, in reference to myself. And you can say to God basically from this day forward, I'm going to show complete appreciation. And let me tell you something. After you've done that with God, then when you go home and say something to the wife or to the husband, to the children, to the parents where you work, it'll take on a better meaning. Why? Because you know what true appreciation is by saying, thank you, Jesus. Think of that while we stand.